Hello, everyone.
Hi there.
Can we get away with this?
No, probably not.
Well, let's try anyway.
But can we get away with it all?
Welcome to Cracker Classics. Weekly podcast where these two guys watch an old movie and consider it from where we are right now.
Ponder the timelessness of its suckage.
And today we're watching She's All That. Pretty Woman. I mean,
My Fair Lady, Part 2.
Selfie. Fuck. Pygmalion. Pygmalion. We're doing the actual original story based on the George Bernard Shaw play directly, not loosely, Pygmalion. We're not going to put lipstick on you, make you pretty.
I'm putting lipstick on a Pygmalion.
God damn it, that's got to be our title now, doesn't it?
Kind of what this movie is. If you think about it.
Yeah.
In a crass sort of way, that's what it is. We are making someone undesirable become desirable by society standards.
Through purely superficial means.
I will put out there that at least the original story dealing with speech and diction and communication is somewhat of a helpful thing society acceptance-wise.
Yeah.
We still kind of go about it the wrong way in this story because it's, oh, you have a undesirable accent that we need to traumatize out of you.
Eliminate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As opposed to, well, you just weren't really taught language and communication. It's just, you don't sound right.
Yep.
Grain of salt, yeah.
You don't conform to society standards. Let's make you conform, and then you'll be popular.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty much, yeah. And along the way, I'll find out that I love you.
Oh, of course.
Because that's in here, too. I love a project.
Yep.
And I chose this because for whatever reason, I got thinking about Leslie Howard.
Ah.
And was reading up on him and just pondering how much I really liked him as an actor.
Yeah.
I hated his roles and his characters. But he's really good at playing a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
A proper bougie son of a bitch.
Yes, he is.
So yeah, I expect similar cringe to My Fair Lady.
Oh, yeah.
Movie that's, still upsets me that I like it.
Yeah, this should have all the typical cringe of any Pygmalion adaptation.
But without the flash.
Because it's the original.
Mm-hmm. It's just black and white, and it's the play, so it's not musically, it's not colorful or grand with choreography and stuff. It should just be the meat and potato story of cringe.
Of how to fit into a society that doesn't accept you for who you are.
And, I mean, I've never read the original play, but I feel like there's more to the story than just that it tries to examine the issues of society's expectations and whatnot, and that just gets lost in adaptation.
I mean, ultimately, the person being Pygmalion discovers their inner value regardless of the outer trappings.
That is true.
But still.
At what cost?
Exactly.
There is still that odd moral of, in order to find yourself and learn your place in society, you have to endure hardship and abuse.
And pretend to be something you're not.
Yeah.
That's... Only to find out that you actually are.
Yeah, that's something we may have to examine in here of.
Yeah.
You were already perfect, but we made you more perfect or something.
You were perfectly wonderful as you were, but now you're better. See?
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm intrigued. This could be just a very well done story of ugh.
Getting
or
back
it could just be all around ugh.
Yeah, getting back to the roots. Is it really, like, is the core rotten or is it just the layers of adaptation that are rotten?
How much lipstick is on this pig?
Is there a pig under the lipstick? Or was it a friend we made along the way? The answer was inside it all along. One of those, right? It's gotta be. Otherwise, this wouldn't be such an enduring story.
There's that diamond in the rough sort of feel to the story. You had worth. We just had to polish off
the parts of you that weren't worthy.
Yeah, wash off the turds to find the gold that was underneath. It's sort of a reverse polish a turd story in a way.
Polish the turd off the gold?
Yeah.
Or recognize the value in turds.
But the weird part is it's a polished turd that's doing the gold polishing.
Can you polish gold?
That's the problem with Henry Higgins. He's kind of just a polished turd. Who only is that because of his societal lottery winnings.
Yep.
He was born into it. And as is typical, the turds were born into it. Maybe some of them are decent, but not without a lot of work.
Yeah.
The rest of us, we are decent, but we're covered in shit, and so you don't know it.
The shit spewed by those who were born into it.
Splashback of turd, yeah. It's not ours, it's theirs.
All right, this is getting entirely too fecal for
yes.
me. Let's move along to the movie, shall we?
Yes, we'll be back for part number two.
God our damn it. Intermission impressions. I hate you.
Gross. Well,
gross.
I never.
Gross.
Which part?
We're what, 47 minutes in? 46 minutes.
46 minutes of it, huh?
Yeah.
What's the 1 minute that's not?
The minute that introduces her, I guess. The opening credits? Let's go with that.
Okay.
The opening credits.
All right. I personally don't think there's anything gross about Eliza.
No.
She is a perfectly fine person, good, decent morals.
Yep.
With an interest in bettering herself.
Yep.
And we can have theories about her reasons for why she wants to do that.
We can absolutely talk about what they're considering to be bettering herself, too.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
From her point of view, it is, I can't get better work because of how I sound.
Yep.
And how I am, basically, you know, how I was raised, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I learn some tricks of the trade, I can get a better job that, in theory, will help out my family, regardless of their
proclivities for gin.
Well, I mean, we've met Dad. he ain't great.
Nope.
He claims to have some morals. You know, he was offered 10 pounds, but he's like, oh, no. I only want the 5 that I originally asked for.
I just want a small bender.
5 pounds back then was
that's quite good bender. That's quite a good weekend, yeah.
10 pounds would kill you.
That's why he didn't want 10.
I've asked for favors from rich men before. I know how much I can handle. Just 5 pounds, please. So there, the scene we just watched, our first foray into public proper conversation. For the most part, she knows how to say it. She just doesn't know what she's supposed to say. Which is a problem just in society. Because I don't think she was talking about anything that bad.
No.
You know?
Great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mom didn't definitely didn't die of the flu because...
it was her aunt.
Or her aunt, yeah. She got through diphtheria just fine. And
bit the spoon off because of all the gin being poured down her throat.
But then suddenly she's got the flu, she passes, and her straw hat disappears. It's a little suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's a good story.
At least good because it made everyone aghast in the room. Sometimes those are the best stories.
But it was real awkward hearing it through that forced diction.
Yeah. You know, they're kind of singing her praises of she's got a wonderful ear and she's a quick learner and she's picking up on all this stuff. But she's also kind of forcing it.
Well, I mean, as you do.
True. You kind of have to force it in such forced social situations.
She's only 6 months into training. Like, that's...
I never got the hang of forcing it. Way too much work.
Oh, no, I don't.
explains certain things in my life. It. Yeah.
No.
That's because you have to force it. Doesn't mean you actually have to force it.
Yeah.
You just think you do because everybody else thinks they do too.
I usually find that if you have to force it, it's not worth the effort to begin with.
Well, it's fair. This story teaches that differently, though.
And anyone that tells you you have to force it either didn't have to force it or is so caught up in the fact that they had to force it that everyone else has to,
too. Yeah, I think it's a little of both.
Depends on the person.
That's true. But here we have a climbing the social ladder to be on the same level of people who are just keeping up appearances.
Yep. Fake it until you can fake it as well as everyone else is faking it at the top. It's not about making it. It's about faking it as well as the rest.
Because if you haven't already made it, you're not going to make it.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Freddy's taking a shine to her.
Which is adorable.
Right in front of his wife? I think that's his wife.
Oh, it's, I thought it was his sister.
Oh.
His mom and his sister. Okay. I thought.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it's his mom and his sister.
Okay.
I'm not 100% on that, but...
I don't like the sister.
Nope.
She's way too uppity. Mom's okay. Henry's mom I like.
Yes. But I mean, she'd have to be kind of cool to produce a child like Henry and allow him to... explore
who he is.
Peculiarities, yes.
There's things about Henry. His manner at home is not exactly proper, socially speaking.
Nope.
That whole conversation with Mrs. Pierce, you can't be doing this. You can't do this. I mean, why are you dirtying up the tablecloth and wiping your hands on your clothes? Wearing your dressing gown downstairs to breakfast.
Yep.
Those are things that proper people don't do.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Well, he's very improper.
But...
except...
he has his reasons.
Yeah.
Because he's still the haughty son of a bitch.
Oh, he's...
superior.
Elitist as fuck.
And that's why he's allowed to do such things in his own mind.
Yep.
Because he's already made it, so it doesn't matter.
Yep. But if other people do these things, horrors, they haven't earned it.
Mm-hmm. He somehow thinks he has earned... the ability to treat women the way he does.
People.
Well, yes, but a lot of it is directed at women.
Oh, there is a lot of misogyny.
Yes. And I didn't really understand his reasoning behind it.
Well, there's a lot of classism, too.
Yeah. And just a self-centered thing about him. Because what did he say? Any woman that I've taken in or gotten to know eventually becomes a nuisance.
Well... I've seen that happen.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but that's his justification for remaining a bachelor and being so disdainful towards women. They're all the same.
That's the
They
problem.
Eventually get sweet on me and get really annoying. That's a problem.
Well, I can understand that.
I can understand
I've run into that problem, but I do not paint all women with that brush.
Exactly, that's my main issue.
Well aware, it is not all women.
Mm-hmm.
And the painting of all women with that brush is the problem. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that comes from being so self-centered.
Yep.
I'm the exception to the rule of everybody else.
Yeah.
I know that because I've done that before. It's y'all that are crazy. I'm not crazy.
Well, I'm... pretty much in agreement with that one, but...
well, I think everyone else is, too. It's a common thing.
Yeah.
I suppose that's just a defense
crazy
mechanism
fuckers.
Of our psychology, though. Justify the horrors we see in the world. Not that we're seeing many horrors in the world here.
Not really.
Things are very much painted in a noble light. And it's the point of view of an upper class.
Yeah.
You know. We're going to have a bubble.
Yeah.
And here comes this one woman outside the bubble, wanting to be in the bubble. It really is the most morally upstanding person in here.
So far. I'd say Freddy's pretty... I mean, he's a pushover, but he's
true.
Pretty moral.
We don't have much about him yet.
No.
I was more fascinated on Eliza's... view of decency.
Yeah.
And that was how she was raised. A bit staunch Christian-y, you know, in a way.
He's a never nude.
Yeah. Did not understand that there are times when nudity is natural. Like when you clean yourself. And being so poor and not really being in the situation of fully cleaning yourself, a totally foreign concept, almost immoral.
Yeah.
Which I found interesting. The rich people are more immoral because they get fully naked to get clean.
You know?
It was interesting to me.
Well, I mean, there's the whole idea of that she had of she'd catch her death if she took a bath, and how much of that is societally imposed to keep the poor smelly and make it obvious who they are.
That's fair.
Like, there's...
there's a minor survival thing in that, too.
There's a lot of...
you know, I can't really afford to heat my home well enough to take layers of clothing off. Yep. So if I did take all of my clothes off, yep, I would catch my death because it's damn cold.
Yep. There's so much built into that that it's hard to tease out all the stuff to it.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of touching on difference in class, and not just how society looks at it, but the classiness of people. Because just because you're from a lower, quote, class doesn't mean you're not classy.
There's...
so a lot of the upper class people aren't classy. Just because they look like it.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to make me feel any better.
Well, we're at least kind of touching on things like that in this version than in My Fair Lady.
A little bit.
My Fair Lady seemed a lot more abusive in the sense of we must whip you into shape to be proper. Here it's we have someone of decent morals who just happens to be in a perceived lower class wanting to find more success in society.
Yeah.
We're it still... seems less, what's the word? Disgusting.
Yeah, but we're still taking the approach of the perception of you is the problem, so we will alter the perception of you and not make any changes ourselves.
True. No one else is changing in here, aside from the surface value of Eliza.
Not alter how we perceive people.
No.
We will change how you are perceived, because how you are perceived is the problem. It's not how we perceive people, it's how you are perceived.
That is the core of the story, yes. That is She's All That. That is Pretty Woman.
That's every version of this story.
Yeah.
And that's my issue with every version of this story.
But that is the story.
I know.
The one plus to that is, yeah, okay, nobody in the story changes their perspective of stuff, but it might get us to re-examine our perspective.
Well, that's fair.
And that's the one nugget that I've always liked from My Fair Lady, and it's even more prominent in here.
Yeah.
Of...
Pretty Woman did it best.
Well, that's fair. That's very fair.
If you want to get right down to it, Pretty Woman did it best.
Yeah. That's the beauty of this story. It's supposed to be for us changing our perspective.
Yeah.
If we go into it with an open, willing to change our perspective mindset.
Yeah.
There's definitely people I know who would prefer themselves to be a Henry Higgins. Because they know better. Yeah. They are the experts. Everyone must conform to their point of view. I must say, Leslie Howard is a fantastic Henry Higgins. Such an asshole.
Yeah.
He does it so well. I still hate him.
Quite true.
But he does it really well.
Quite true.
I don't hate Leslie. I think he's fantastic.
But
so
Henry.
Good at playing roles like this.
Yeah.
We will see how his change of heart towards Eliza goes. You know, in My Fair Lady, it became a infatuation love thing. We'll see how that goes in here.
Oh, I'm sure it does. That's
popular. But done a little better, a little less creepy, maybe? Maybe a little more softening of his ick.
That would be preferable, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's still, I don't know.
We'll just have to see.
Yep.
Shall we go see?
I think we shall.
Okay, we'll be back with our curtain call and love. Proper British love. Aristocratic.
We've had sex twice and we have two children.
Well, it does end the same, doesn't it?
Yeah. If I had any balls, it would have ended it 60 seconds earlier.
That's not the story, though. That's...
Which is a problem.
There was that line of she figured out how to deal with him.
Yeah.
There was this sort of...
Not enough.
Well, it probably isn't. But there's this feeling of, okay, you helped me change for the better.
Yeah.
I think I figured out a way to make you change for the better. And it involves me staying and, you know, dealing with you and throwing slippers at you. We don't really see that change. Because, you know, at the very end, he thought he won. Because fetch me my fucking slippers.
She's back, but yeah.
Because that's all that mattered to him.
Yeah.
Was getting what he wanted.
Yeah.
But I think he is now her project, like she was his project. And she now knows how to proceed forward as an independent woman. And she made that choice of, I'm staying, and I'm going to work on you, you son of a bitch.
Maybe.
It is kind of a big maybe, yes. I will concede to that. But that whole conversation right before, you know, some things came out.
You make a fair point.
Yeah. She did realize her own self-worth and that it was inherent. She had it all along. There was just, for lack of a better term, refining that needed to happen in order for others to see it. I wish I'd have written it down. It was about how she was treated.
Oh, it isn't how she behaves, it's how she's treated.
Yeah, that's exactly what
it is. Yeah, yeah. I know the difference between a gutter snipe and a duchess, and it isn't how she behaves,
it's how she's treated.
Yeah.
Because Colonel Pickering treated her like a duchess.
Yeah.
From the very beginning. There was a respect there, a basic human decency kind of thing. Something lacking in the poor Henry Higgins, whatever happened in his childhood to make him be this way.
Yeah.
I assume it's a rather immature lashing out at mother.
Oh, yeah.
Because we get that. Mom's fine. I like Mom.
Yeah.
She should have just given up on her damn incessant child. Because what a brat.
Apparently that's not what love does.
I don't know if love enters into this.
We don't give up on our children even if they are incorrigible shit.
Unconditional love. This is a tale of unconditional love.
Damn it, you're making me like this.
She
Why?
Gives up infatuating
I'm
love.
So angry about this.
I think you're just looking at it in the wrong way.
I know.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with actual love, love. It's more of that unconditional, I give a shit about you as a human being.
Yes.
Which is why Freddy is so pointless in this story. I mean, he needs to be in it. But he feels so pointless because he was just infatuated with her.
Oh, yeah.
And kept turning up almost creepily. And that's not what this story is about.
Well, no. But him being there does allow it to go, yeah, this ain't it either.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of that in here.
Yeah.
There's options explored. Like, yeah. Well, that's not it. Yeah, that's not it.
Yeah.
And in the end, it's Henry.
Yeah.
I need to work on you. Because at least, I mean, his intentions weren't great, but he did have good action when it came to her. He did work on her to get that refining,
yeah,
what was needed for her to be treated well. You know, there's a lot of class in society in this story of how we treat others. We don't do it well.
Yeah.
We just don't. And there's reasons for that. Not good ones, but there's reasons for that.
Well, part of the problem is we treat people who are acting like gutter snipes like duchesses, and they become entitled to be petulant children and think they can run the fucking country kind of thing.
Well, it's how it's been.
Yeah.
You have something I want, so I will treat you in a certain way. So
yep.
That maybe you will give me that.
Yep.
Oh, you're just taking advantage of how I'm treating you? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't solved that problem.
No.
100 years later, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's been a problem that's we've been trying to deal with for thousands of years.
It's a human interaction thing, and it's, yeah, we haven't ironed out those kinks.
No.
But I like this, I think, better than My Fair Lady when it comes to displaying the more deeper meanings of that story.
You're making valid points, and I am forced to agree with you.
You're welcome. I'll play Henry Higgins for this moment.
I think it would have been better if, after Henry had delivered that line, Slippers hit him in the back of the head.
That would have helped drive that point, yeah.
Yeah.
It's some
I would
sort
feel
of
better
a,
about that.
Yeah, in a congenial way of,
yeah,
I am going to stay, you jackass. Here's your fucking slippers. We're going to work on this.
I'm sorry. You were unclear. Did you not wish me to chuck them at your head? All you said was fetch them.
No, he said, where the devil
where
are they?
Where the devil are they? Well, they just hit you in the back of the head.
Because
so.
There is unrefined things about him, you know.
Oh, yes, there are.
I mean, we can get into sort of the why of why work on him. Isn't he a lost cause? It's a, yeah. That's a loaded question, I know.
Is anyone truly a lost cause?
No. Anyone can bounce back from whatever hardship they've experienced.
I know.
Just because society wants to write them off for certain people in their lives, consider them a lost cause, that doesn't mean they're a lost cause. You're only a lost cause once you're dead.
Yeah.
And to look at that as being a lost cause is really grim. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the why is kind of murky. I will agree with you on that. But it's an unconditional, I give a shit about you thing. He may have put on those airs of I don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
But he kind of did. If he didn't give a shit about her, he would not have persisted in working with her. Yeah, okay, he had his reasons. It was an experiment. It was for the sake of sociology or my own ego.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of surface value stuff. As someone who's dallied in things for the sheer thrill, interest, sociological experiment of it, didn't mean I saw it through until the end. There was a legit, unconditional, I give a shit about you to him. He just has no idea how to show it. Might not even fully realize that it was in there. Because he's really caught up in his own
bullshit.
Me.
It's just as phony as that pupil he disdains so wholeheartedly.
Kinda, yeah. Having him in there was interesting.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. It shows how fake that society is.
All of it is.
And how you can outfake the fakers. Because he thought she was a Hungarian princess.
And outfaking the fakers, ultimately, doesn't mean anything.
Oh, no.
But
that showed the immaturity of Higgins. The fact that he wanted to have that upper hand when it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Didn't mean a damn thing.
Yeah.
He just had that superiority of, yes, I'm still the master and you're still the pupil.
Yeah.
But now I guess he's the master. If you want to look at it in that way. I mean, there's the power dynamics of that.
Yeah. Ugh.
See, there's reasons why this story keeps coming up. Just a lot of times when we tell the story, we miss the point.
Yeah. That's fair.
It's not about being accepted by society.
No.
It's about getting society to realize you're supposed to be accepted all along.
Yep.
Even if you may have to fake it a bit. Play the role. Which I still don't agree to that or know how to... Yeah,
that's one of my big sticking points.
I still have an issue with that.
Yeah.
But I don't know of any other way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the end, be yourself. Be good, true. Give a shit about others unconditionally.
But give a shit about yourself unconditionally, too.
Yes. That's a big part of it.
That is key.
Because you're a part of everyone, you know?
Yes.
Don't forget about yourself.
Yep. There are a lot of people that will happily take advantage of the...
Of your unconditional love. Yeah. Yeah.
If that love does not include yourself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you want to show your unconditional love to us, you can support us on Patreon.
Don't waste it on language lessons. Give it to us, Governor.
We'll teach you how to talk proper.
Like a right old Englishman.
Check out our
He's
website.
He's from Earl's Court, you see. Sorry, that was improper to have cut you off. What were you saying?
There is a website. We have one.
Yeah,
CrackerClassics.com.
Yes. That's what it is.
Yep.
If you have criticism of our diction, you can email us, CrackerClassics@gmail.
And we're here every week, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Fare thee well.
My fair lady. No. Pretty woman.
Mainly in Spain.